Faith leaders, unions, and citizens in Minnesota's Twin Cities are pushing back today against one of the largest and most aggressive campaigns yet targeting undocumented immigrants.
Many businesses are closed, and there are planned protests throughout the day. It follows the arrest on Thursday by the Trump administration of three people involved in a protest that disrupted a church service in St. Paul last Sunday.
NPR's Meg Anderson is in Minneapolis. Meg, what can we expect to see today?
Yeah, so there's a general strike. Organizers are encouraging community members to stay home from work, to not shop or dine out. Many local businesses will be closed. And there are going to be several demonstrations, including a march and a rally in downtown Minneapolis this afternoon. It's also extremely cold here, even by Minnesota standards. Afternoon temperatures will be around negative 10 degrees. But, you know, given the strong community response we've seen here so far, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people still show up.
And you said negative 10, right? Negative 10.
Yes, wow. That's right.
Okay. I mentioned earlier the arrests of church protesters. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so last Sunday, protesters entered a church in St. Paul because one of the pastors there is a local official with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Federal officials said the three protesters were arrested on charges related to a conspiracy to deprive other people of their rights, in this case, religious rights. One of the people arrested is a civil rights lawyer and a prominent local activist. And these arrests seem to be part of a shifting, harder line the administration is taking with some protesters. Here's Vice President J.D. Vance. He visited Minneapolis yesterday.
If you go and storm a church, if you go and insult a federal law enforcement officer, we're going to try very hard. We're going to use every resource of the federal government to put you in prison. Respect people's rights.
Vance drew a distinction between violent and nonviolent protests, but videos of that church protest show people marching and chanting. It does not appear violent. And the vast majority of protests here have been peaceful.
Yeah, it's true. But I have seen cases of immigration officers deploying tear gas and pepper spray and arresting protesters.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, this week, Gregory Bovino, the head of Customs and Border Protection, he blamed those instances of violence on what he called, quote, an influx of anarchist protesters. But we are hearing more and more cases of people reporting aggressive behavior from immigration officers. Some U.S. citizens are speaking out about being stopped or detained by immigration agents. Here's Nasser Ahmed speaking at a press conference this Wednesday. She's a U.S. citizen and was detained by immigration agents for 2 days.
They were just using a lot of force to arrest me, and I was screaming, I was crying, I was so scared. Never been arrested in my life.
She's Somali American, and she said the officers arresting her made racist remarks. While in Minneapolis, Vice President Vance told reporters the government takes allegations of racial profiling seriously. But Nasser Ahmed is hardly the only person with a story like that. This week, police leaders from three local agencies told reporters their own off-duty officers were racially profiled by federal agents who demanded to see their IDs. One of the officers said the federal agents had their guns drawn on them.
That's NPR's Meg Anderson in Minneapolis. Meg, try to stay warm.
Thank you.
At the World Economic Forum in Davos on Thursday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky gave a scorching critique of Europe, his country's most reliable ally.
Yeah, the Ukrainian leader said Europe was unprepared for an increasingly dangerous world, even as a war rages within its borders.
NPR's Ukraine correspondent Joanna Kakissis is in Kyiv. Joanna, so what's the main takeaway of that speech?
Zelensky began with a reference to the movie Groundhog Day and said Ukrainians have been reliving the same day during 4 years of Russia's full-scale war. Europe, he says, is also in a loop and it's going to kill them. He wants the continent to wake up and see the world order is changing quickly and that they risk being left behind. Now, Zelensky issued this wake-up call after a week in which global leaders at Davos, including French President Emmanuel Macron and Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, raised their concerns about the historic transatlantic relationship with the U.S. Now, Zelensky implored Europe to unite and stop relying on the U.S., especially with an aggressive Russia at Europe's doorstep.
Instead of taking the lead in defending freedom worldwide, especially when America's focus shifts elsewhere, Europe looks lost trying to convince the U.S. president to change. But he will not change.
Zelensky made these comments right after meeting President Trump as Ukraine continues to work on a peace plan with the Americans.
I'm wondering, though, should Zelensky have been so blunt with Europeans, especially since they stepped in as the U.S. has pulled back?
Well, Zelensky does see the fate of Ukraine tied to that of Europe, though he is frustrated that Europe does not do more to stop Russia's war machine. And Ukrainians have worked for many years to break away from post-Soviet influence and embrace the democratic ideals of the European Union and the NATO Security Alliance. However, Zelensky suggested that the unity of NATO itself is fragile. What would happen, he said, if Russia attacked a NATO ally?
Who will respond? Right now, NATO exists thanks to believe that the United States will act, that it will not stand aside and will help. But what if it doesn't?
He said Europe must learn how to defend itself. And because Ukraine has been defending itself for years, it can help, he said.
Okay. So in what way?
So last year, Zelensky pushed for the formation of a united European armed force, with Ukraine included, of course, that could be up to 3 million troops. And he lamented nothing had been done since he brought it up, but he said it's still not too late and described one way Europe might benefit.
If Russian warships are sailing freely around Greenland, Ukraine can help. We have the expertise and weapons to ensure not one of those ships remains. They can sink near Greenland, just as they do near Crimea.
And now he's talking about how Ukraine, though it has this tiny navy, used sea drones to basically block Russia ships from using the Black Sea. Zelensky said Ukraine needs Europe's help today to keep its independence, but that tomorrow Europe will have to protect its own way of life. And Zelensky told Europeans, with Ukraine at your side, no one will wipe their feet on you.
That's NPR's Joanna Kakissis in Kyiv. Joanna, thank you.
You're welcome.
A giant ice and snowstorm is bearing down on much of the U.S. this weekend.
The National Weather Service says more than 170 million people are in the path of the winter storm. It's expected to move from the southwest today and towards the northeast by Sunday, bringing dangerous weather conditions with it.
NPR's Debbie Elliott has been looking at how states are preparing, joins us now. So Debbie, I mean, just how bad is this going to be?
Well, forecasters are warning this is a potentially life-threatening and catastrophic winter storm. It's going to bring frigid temperatures, dump a lot of snow, sleet, freezing rain. Generally, that's going to make travel treacherous and could result in widespread power outages as ice coats trees and power lines, knocking out service. I spoke with a National Weather Service forecaster. He told me, look for heavy snow and blinding snow squalls on the northern side of this system, and then crippling ice and sleet to the south.
All right, so everyone knows this is coming. What are people doing to prepare?
Well, you know, much like we see before a hurricane strikes, governors are making emergency declarations. That's already happened in more than a half dozen states. You know, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, and Virginia so far. That will free up resources so they can prepare to respond. For instance, you know, moving power crews into position, pre-treating roads and highways, getting supplies like food and water in the right places, and you know, putting out the snow plows and things like that. Also, they've called up National Guard troops to be ready to respond. Ice is really what the authorities in the South are most concerned about, because not only is it going to hamper driving, it will knock out power and leave people without electricity in the bitter cold days that are going to persist after this precipitation moves out. Here's what Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry had to say.
Stay off the roads. Once you have checked on your plants, your pipes, your people, and your pets, get comfortable, cook a gumbo. Please get in your homes, get warm, get safe, and stay there. Ice on the road is not only dangerous, it is deadly.
All right, so that's a grim message, except for the part where you cook a gumbo. Does it appear, though, that people are listening?
You know, well, based on the images I'm seeing of empty store shelves, it does look like people have been getting ready and stocking up for the cold days ahead. One store in Atlanta, for instance, sold out of ice melting salt. And folks in Louisiana are saying they're having a hard time finding propane, you know, the tanks that you use for a gas grill or to put under a big pot of gumbo. In Kentucky, Justin Hicks at Louisville Public Media stopped by Keith's Hardware store to see how residents there were getting ready. Here's what Robert Tolbane was bracing for.
Possibly like almost a foot of snow or more, maybe. Ice, hopefully not. I guess, I don't know. I'm here buying a snow shovel, so I guess that's as prepared as I'm going to get.
So he's got his new snow shovel and says he does have plenty of food and water at home to weather this winter storm.
What are other problems or disruptions that might happen?
You know, Chicago schools canceled classes today. That also happened in Milwaukee and in parts of Tennessee. And the storm is disrupting air travel at some of the busiest airports in the country. Several airlines, including Delta and American, are issuing travel advisories, and some flights have already been canceled.
That's NPR's Debbie Elliott. Debbie, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.